so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Oh, and I give myself. Myself away so you can use me. Yes, I give myself away. Oh, and I give myself away so you can use me. Yes, I give myself away. Oh, and I give myself away so you can use me. Yes, I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh, and I give myself away so you can use me.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Ted.
I was sitting back here 10 minutes before and I said I wanted to get up, but I wanted to wait on the right time.
Amen.
But
Amen.
I love this place.
Here we stay.
I love this. Amen. This is the best place there ever is. Amen. And it's not just the place. Yeah. It's the revelation of the
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
That's the best place.
Yes.
Without the revelation, you have nothing.
Amen.
You
right.
have
Amen.
Absolutely nothing.
Right.
And it's I just was thinking back there, just thinking, Lord, I want to say something, and I got some on my heart, and I just,
yes.
I guess just the love of the Word and yes. and how we are manifesting
right
yes. this day.
Amen.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Right.
It keeps you.
Yeah.
It helps you through this life. There's so many things we go through.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that keeps you. That's the thing that helps you go through these things of the world. When you get into financial issues, or you get into whatever you want to call it, name it, put it all on the list.
Right.
There's so long things. It's just, we all go through things. Everybody in here. There's not one person that doesn't go through something. And it's just that is the only thing that really holds you. Is knowing this revelation.
Amen.
It guides you. It pulls you. Yes. And I just Amen. sit back and I just think, and I said, I was wanting to get up 10 minutes early because I didn't want Satan to get involved.
Right.
I would have gotten up. I was waiting for the song to end. So. But anyway, I'm so glad to be here. Mm-hmm. Because it is so important to get here.
Amen.
Because it helps that mind. It's not so much the soul. Soul's done. It's changed.
Amen.
But your mind. Your mind is the biggest battle that you have. Is in mind games. And getting up in here, and it's really true. Testimonies mean everything. Because you got to battle your mind. And the hardest thing is you got to overcome that. Getting up here and getting into that testify is more important than what we really realize. And that is the only way you're going to overcome.
That's right.
Is by your own testimony.
That's right.
Your testimony is the way you're going to overcome.
Amen.
And without your testimony, without you saying something, you're not going to overcome much. You
That's
need
right.
the strength.
That's right.
And this
Blame
is the
it.
Place you're going to get your strength.
Amen. Right.
And demonstrating, getting yourself out of the way is basically letting God just say, hey, I don't care about my flesh. It's going to get up and do what it needs to do. That's it.
Lord.
Testimony. Just tell what's on your heart. Because we all need it.
Right.
If you don't say it, you're missing out. And we're missing out, both. Because we need everyone's testimony.
Amen.
Not just mine. Not just Brother Moore's. Not just Jay's.
Right.
Yeah, they'll do it. And I'll do it too. And I should do it more often.
Yeah.
Everybody. Just being honest.
Amen.
But
Amen.
It is important. It's
Amen.
Your strength.
Yes, it is.
It's what you really need. Your strength is their testimony. So I just want to let you know that and feel
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Amen. God bless Brother Ted. Appreciate
you. I love what Ted said because I almost thought he was going to say it's, you know, I'm thankful for this place too, and you got to have a revelation, but I almost thought he was going to say I'm thankful for the people too. It's like, I am, but it's not about everyone else. You know, this is personal.
Right.
If you don't have a revelation,
Amen.
You're... I want to say you're screwed. It's personal, you know. You spend a lot of time looking at everybody else, and you know what? It's about you.
Right.
We don't judge by the flesh in here.
Amen.
You know, but I think you can go in a ditch on that, too, because we've got a freedom here.
Yeah.
But it's not so much you can just go out and do whatever you want, you know. You can, but there might be some problems.
Right.
You know,
right.
there might be a payment for that, so... You got to use wisdom too. You got to have a balance on everything,
Amen.
You know. And
Amen.
My heart's so full, like testifying. You know, I it's hard to get out what I'm, because I got so many thoughts.
Right.
I tease Elijah sometimes because I'm like, you're so smart, man. Your thoughts and your words get mixed up. So when these words come out, they're mixed up, and it'll just throw me off. I'm like, what'd you just say? I'm like, I'm not making fun of you, buddy. I just you're so smart, but
right.
you know, I'm so full just.
Amen.
A couple weeks ago when I got back, Bert told me we need you. And I had a lot of emotions with that. I was, because in one sense, it's like, yeah, I know I'm needed. Yeah.
Right.
But I could do this thing. You know, if I'm the last man standing, I want to do this.
Amen.
Right.
It's real
Amen.
To me, you know.
Right.
But it's good to know you're needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for the people here. I'm thankful for to have a revelation. I got a new phone yesterday. Salespeople, I don't know, I'm a sucker, I guess. I went in to get a screen protector the other day. Got a screen protector on my old phone, and then I ended up getting a new phone. So she gave me credit for a new phone, but whatever. But I sat my phone down in the car this morning, where I normally set my phone, and it started charging. And the whole time I thought, my car, I didn't think that was a charger there, and I was mad about it. And this whole time, like, you just didn't have a nice enough phone. It was me. I was the problem. The car had a charger. I'm like, so I'm looking at myself like, this is personal.
Right.
You know, I look at this thing like, what are you doing with the word?
Right.
What are you doing? So
okay.
I'm just so full today, but I know Isaiah was trying to get up, so I'll let you have it.
Amen. Up. Well, he's coming. I wanted to say a little something.
Yeah.
You know, he's full, but he's not the only one.
Amen.
You know, I'm sitting there looking at, you know, and everything is just so perfect. You know, from the songs being played before,
right.
you know, right on up, you're just sitting there watch God move,
yes.
watch God move, and the thing he's, you know, dealing with me on and everything, and I was kind of waiting to see how to even say this, you know, since the beginning of the year. I wanted to say something New Year's Eve, and time got away. All those last couple hours went fast.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, you ain't going to say nothing tonight. But, You know, I was just thinking about, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, anything like that, but it's the start of a new year.
Right.
You know, not the way not as the world teacheth.
No.
But, you know, it's the start of a new year, and it's time to look at things, and, you know, even communion, the way it's read, you know, just examine yourself, you know. And just looking at this, and I just kept thinking, you know, I don't put God in a box at all. You know, you as much as you try, as much as you think it through, as much as, you know, God deals with and everything, there's still something back there. It's some tradition gnawing at you, you know, trying to belittle what's going on today. And, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, if there be a theme, it's just surrender more.
Yes.
Surrender more. I don't want to leave here until you meet my need.
Amen.
And I look at that every service I come. I want God to deal with me some more. I'm so close home.
Right.
I'm so close home. I'm closer and closer to the end of my life. You know, if I'm ever going to do anything, I better get doing it.
Right.
You know, God has dealt with me my whole life, and I'm so blessed.
Amen.
You know, it's going to be 45 years.
Yes.
You know, since I sit under this perfect word.
Amen.
You know, it wasn't, you know, from church to church to church trying to figure out what it was. It was perfect word from the beginning. And I think, Lord, you've dealt with me, and you've brought me so far. You know, high time I do something about it. And but I don't want to put God in a box. I want to be reckless with my faith.
Amen.
You know, just flat reckless with my faith. I think, Lord, if you said it, I just want to believe it. You know, and I should, you know, accept nothing else. You know, it's just a word or nothing.
Amen. Right.
And, you know, and you look at it, and you know, just like the beginning of any year, you look at it, and God puts something on your heart, and you think, well, how's this going to manifest? Well, yeah, I ain't seen a whole lot just yet, but I'm thinking, Lord, it's on my heart.
Right.
You know, and that's first thing. He'll lay it on your heart first, and then he'll begin to explain what it is, you know, by bringing it to pass.
Right.
You know, so I'm just thankful the way he's dealing with us,
amen,
the way he's brought us so far. You can look back 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, and you think, Lord, you brought us so far,
amen,
so far. And even since first of the year, you know, you just see, I don't know, just a greater sincerity, every service just more real,
amen,
more real.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. God bless, Brother John.
Oh, my goodness.
He said he wants to sing your song.
Just a little testimony before that just vindicates God in this place.
Amen.
Heavy right now. It's heavy. It's on,
amen,
thick right now.
Right?
Because I came up here because, you know, we struggle in our mind, okay? And coming to church here, my wrist's been bothering me because of a small, you know, injury at work. And, you know, it's been kind of really tough to play my ukulele. So I was wearing my brace earlier, but I took it off. I wanted to bless the body with a song.
Right.
Amen.
That,
amen,
same song that's in your mind right now.
Right.
You know, and because I want nothing standing in my way when I praise,
right,
God.
Right.
I'll make excuses for what I got to do out there, but I won't make excuses in here.
Right.
It's time to praise him.
Right.
So he's going to go ahead and play this song because I'm just a vessel. I just want to give myself away to this.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Sisters, can I get you guys up here? Sister Joy, come on up here.
Amen. 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 Let's get the mics together for them.
Because this is the last time that we're ever coming here in this way. I want to praise him in the worst condition he said I'm in. So this is all for him. The reason I'm even here, it's for him.
Amen.
So, praise God. You know what's
going on? I
do. All right.
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Purihin mo ko ang ngalan mo.
God is doing, or what God is saying in this day and this hour, look at his bride. She is his voice now. She is, thus saith the Lord, I am the book of redemption. Why? Because I ate the book. Right. And so what do you say, little bride? She knows all things now.
Right.
Abraham sat on the mountain, and God said to him, shall I hide anything from my friend? And so here we are in this day. And we're looking down on Sodom and them, and we see the things being fulfilled right before us. I thank God for a man, a husband, who has led me all the way. I'd be lost without him. And he continues to be my rock, my everything. And as we go on, I don't know how many years it is exactly, but I just would like to show a little solidarity with the man who has saved me. Thank God for Holy Ghost home. Before we come to church, amen, we are praising his name. And like you said, Jay, one time I was testifying, I like to get there quickly. So I like Pastor Mortis. I want to just sing with my husband.
Okay.
I want to just give him praise. Amen. We were singing a little song before we came here. And oh, he wasn't looking at me. Now I want to sing it with my amen. Husband. We're still together after all these years. He put up with a lot to put up with me. And you know, the devil said, well, I could have chose this person or that person to be with him. God couldn't have chose anyone better than me, because he doesn't make any mistake. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I'll just
wasn't looking at me.
He wasn't looking at me.
When he took me in.
When he took me in.
He wasn't looking at my heart. That was blackened with sin. But he was looking at his blood. Blood cleansed and free. Covered me.
Covered me.
He wasn't looking at me.
Wasn't looking at me.
When he took me in.
When he took me in.
He wasn't looking at my heart. That was blackened with sin. But he was looking at my soul. Blowing fridge and free. Precious blood which covered me. He wasn't looking at me. When he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart. That was blackened with sin. He was looking at his blood. Flowing rich and wasn't looking at me.
He wasn't looking at me.
When he took me in.
When he took me in.
He wasn't looking at my heart. That was blackened with sin.
That was blackened with sin.
But he was looking at his blood. Flowing rich and free. That precious blood. Wasn't looking at me. When he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart. Which was blackened with sin. Oh, he was looking at his blood. Growing rich and free. That precious blood. Which covered me.
Amen.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
It's always good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I was sitting there thinking in my seat, you know, it's a privilege to come here and be able to testify and have the freedom to testify and just say what's on your heart. It's really a blessing. I thank God for that because, you know, you can come here and you can express what's on your heart and what God's done for you. And this place is, like I've always said, this place is just beautiful. It is. I mean, I look forward to coming to church because I always want to hear what God has to say. I mean, it's I love that. I do, because even in the rebuke, if God comes in and rebukes me, I thank God for it because God's still calling me.
Right.
And that's the greatest thing ever. Sometimes you look at it as a negative, like God's got to call to you, but he has to call to you because he wants his bride to be perfect. He does. I'm understanding that more. God does not want just a slack bride. He doesn't. He don't want that. He wants a mature bride. He does. You know, and you know, when you take that rebuke, you take it as God's still talking to you. Because he don't have to talk to you. He don't have to say anything. I mean, I don't take that lightly. I don't, because God don't talk to everybody. And the fact that you have an ear to hear, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the inner man to talk to you, to know, to guide your life. Oh, right. What do you want?
Right.
I mean, I thank God for that. I really do. I mean, I don't never want to sit down on God thinking that the rebuke is too hard. The rebuke can't never be that hard. I don't care if it's coming every Sunday and Wednesday, rebuke my socks off. I don't care. So what? I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. I want to go through this life being wrong. I mean, what sense does that make? Tell me what, Kevin. Tell me where I'm wrong at. If Kevin, you step here, okay, step up then. That's what I got to do. I just thank God. I love this place. Words can't even express this place. This place is beautiful to me. That's all I want to say.
God bless you, bro. Here you go. Hey, man, we got a couple announcements there. Go ahead, Sister Dawn. You sure? Okay. A couple announcements. As you guys see, before service, they got a lot of things posted up there. So they've been putting together the plans for the new year. So a lot of things going on. Just kind of highlights a couple of them. On the January 16th, they got the sign up back there for the paint. The 26th, on the Thursday, I'm going to be going to Little Bethlehem. On the 12th of February, we got, you know, Fellowship of Brother Jeremiah and Sister Lisa's house. Then they've got other events scheduled. March 17th, they got an event, stuff like that. So that's a lot of things going on there. But so keep up to date on it. Hate for you to miss out on an opportunity just because you didn't know. So we'll keep announcing it. Also, there's been a little bit of we're tweaking a little bit how we do our song practice and stuff. So on January the 19th, they're opening up for the Sunday School and Up to be able to come and work on songs. So January 19th is when they're going to start that first practice there. So looking forward to that. So go ahead, Sister Don.
I don't know. I just want to come today and thank God.
Amen.
I want to thank him for good health.
Amen.
I want to thank him for the body.
Yeah.
I want to thank him for a strong revelation.
Amen.
I want to thank him for the Word of God. I want to thank him for my husband. I want to thank him for everything in my life. He
Amen.
Has been so beyond good. And, you know, I love the testimonies today because I was thinking, sitting over there, I want to do more. I want to be more sincere. I want to be more for him, do more for him, less of me.
Right.
I love him. And I just want to sing, I might need your help. Lord, I need you now.
Amen.
I love that song.
Amen.
Lord, I need you now. More than I ever have before. Oh Lord, I need you today. Before I walk out the door, I don't want to leave this place the same.
Sing that again, amen.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door.
Chris, maybe the last one, Bob. It's good to see you.
I do need the Lord every day, every minute of my life.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that ear to hear. Yes. A little over 20 years ago, that small, still voice in my parents' kitchen said, you need to go back to Fairborn.
Right.
And I never lived in Fairborn, never went to school in Fairborn. The only place I ever came to was here. So I knew exactly what he was talking about. So about after the third time I heard that small, still voice, I said, well, I'm going back to Fairborn. And I ran into Dwayne out in the parking lot, and he'll tell you. I asked him, I said, do they still teach what Brother Branham taught here? And he said, yes. And I come in, and I've been coming here ever since.
Amen.
The Lord has brought me a mighty long way. Long way.
Amen.
I was just thinking this morning when I was lying awake in bed at 3:30 this morning, and I have more trust and faith in God now than I ever have.
Oh, amen.
He's brought me through so many things. And I'm just thankful for that.
Amen.
Knowing who I am.
Yes.
Knowing that God has revealed himself to
amen.
Me. And it's the leadership of this church
yes,
and of the Holy Ghost
amen.
Leading me and directing me in the
amen.
In all truth. And I just appreciate that. I mean,
yes,
I couldn't
Lord.
Thank him enough.
Right.
And one thing that this year has brought me is that I was always going on the ditch over here or over here.
Right.
He's that I would not condemn. It was conviction.
Right.
And I'm doing my best to
amen.
Stay on that straight and narrow.
There you go.
And not to go to this amen. Ditch or that ditch. But the thing about it was, when I did eat in those ditches, I got out.
Right.
I praise God, and I'm looking forward to what he's got to say today.
Amen. God bless you, brother Chris.
Amen. We're going to sing page 208, The More That I Surrender, the key of F. And we'll get him up. I love the testimonies. I love the songs. I love what everybody brought. 208 in the chorus is key of F. Yes, I love. It makes me think about the testimony of Jacob when he said, you know, I'm not letting go till you bless me. You know, that story, the more I look at that story, the more I see all different types, you know, because some people would have just been happy to fellowship with God and sit there and talk to him.
Right.
But Jacob understood what God could do and said, no, just talking to you ain't enough.
Right.
Just getting some, I need something.
Yeah.
I got a need. And matter of fact, I'm not letting go. Until you bless me, you know, that's how it come. You can come here and just sit and talk to God. Just talk. That's good to talk. But I want to leave here different than when I got here. I've got needs, and I'm not leaving until you bless me. Page 208, The More That I Surrender. Key of F. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Sing that again. Amen. Amen. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I the more you lift me up, every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Yes, the more that I surrender, the cares, the more you take control, oh, the more.
Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning in thanksgiving for this new year, this new opportunity to serve you, new opportunity to step forward into the unknown. But Lord, it's only unknown to us. It's known to you. Because you said the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And Lord, the more that we can surrender ourselves to you, the more that you can get out of us what it is that you're looking to express through our houses. And as we said, coming into this year, Lord, we want to be able to be free to do what you want us to do. Not what we want, not my will, but thine be done. That's the heart's desire of the bride. That's what we want. And Lord, we want to move every hindrance aside, every unbelief, every demon that tries to hinder us from hearing your word. Move it aside, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray that you just come and walk these aisles, that you let the words that come forth today be just exactly what the bride needs for the hour that we're living in. Help us to surrender to you more this year than we've ever done in our life. Help us to move aside and to give you more than we've ever given you. If I only gave you a part, Lord, let me give the rest. Give all of myself. Touch those that are sick this morning, some that are tuning in because they weren't feeling well, those that are at home listening in, I ask you to touch those. Be with those that are traveling. Lord, we ask you to touch Praveen's family and the loss of his brother-in-law. I ask you to just touch their hearts and comfort them in this hour of need. I ask you to help Trevor continue to be with him. We heard a good report this morning that they're testing and they're doing things, but it's not cancer. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And ask you to bring total healing to his body. Those that are sitting even amongst us in this room today, Lord, that need you to touch their bodies, Dawn and John and different ones that are hurting. Maybe they've made it here, but still have issues and problems that they need you to touch them for. Sister Donna, different ones. The Earlys down in Florida are always asking us to remember them in our prayers. Just move in the body and just, Lord, deliver. Lord, now we have the word here before us. Ask you to move us aside. You know what you want to say this morning. I don't. I have an idea what I want to say, but it's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Take the words and let them be edifying to the body to move us a step forward. Every service, every day, Lord, let us move closer to what it is that you'd have us to be. Let the manifestation that the world see in us be only the word of God that's to be delivered in the hour that we're living in. So that when the world look at us, they say surely that we have been with you. Thank you for everything, Father. Be with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. And it's a fresh year. It's a fresh start. And if you've ever done, and I understand what Brother Branham said when he was 53, I think it was. He said, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, I better get started. Now, I feel that way in my own life. I'm now 63. And I don't feel like I've done a thing. And I think if I'm ever going to do anything, if I'm going to get anything accomplished, I better get started now. And, you know, I really feel that way. And it's interesting. We had my last work day was Friday. Amen. And I no longer am employed by the state. And they gave me a surprise luncheon on Friday. And all the staff was there, and my director was asking. She told me stand up and tell everybody what my plans were, what I was going to be doing. And they were touched when I was telling them I was helping Michelle with Caterpillars to Butterflies. She wanted me to explain all of that to the whole organization, And I did that, and then she told everybody, she said, Nate, get me a brochure, and the whole company will come to the opening. I'm like, that's the impression that they have had, and I really appreciate all that God's done there. I had one of my maintenance guys who, he's been with me the whole 5 years. He started out with me as my maintenance man, and he came up and gave me a hug, and he started almost crying. He said, I got to quit hugging you. He said, because if I don't, I'm going to be crying here. He said, Nate, you have made a difference in my life. And I thought, my goodness. He said, I'm coming to visit your church. He said, don't forget to give us a couple of masks for the church address. And so there, I said, oh, my goodness. They said, we're coming to see you. And but I just am glad that I left the testimony with them that when they look at it, they don't see me, but they see Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, you can get better results out of the world sometimes than you can with people that are supposedly Christians. There was more love in that room for me on Friday, and it really was touching. But I appreciate, and it's to God be the glory. And like I said, I've never gone there trying to tell them I'm a Christian or to be anything but who I am. Matter of fact, most of them didn't even know I was a pastor. Towards the end, when I got my 3 months notice, which nobody does. When I gave my 3 months notice, then I started letting them know, yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm going to be going back to full-time pastorship. And so they all knew it when they were getting ready to pray for the food Friday. And my director said, we need to get somebody to pray for the food. And I thought maybe somebody out there. They said, let the pastor do it. Let Nate do it for one last time. So they got me up again. I appreciate the time that I had with them. And, you know, it's about spreading the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when they finish looking at you, let them see Christ. And you might have problems, you might have troubles, you might have ups and downs at work, but you know, when it's all said and done, if they sum it all up, when they look at your life, they should see Christ. When your family look at you and they know you, your ups and downs, your goods, your bads, your ins, your outs, they know you. But when they sum it all up, they should be able to say that you live for Christ. And the church world, they may not like you. They may not want to fellowship with you. They may not want anything to do with you. But when it's all summed up and said and done, they'd have to say that we live for Christ.
Amen.
I've been doing this for 43 years. And I didn't do this because I just wanted a good income or wanted popularity. I didn't get popularity. I didn't get a good income. So I did it because I love Christ. It may not have been what everybody wanted it to be. Whose life is? And if you say it's yours, you're a liar, and the truth is far from you. That's why Paul said we press towards the mark, because we're pushing, we're trying to reach that goal. We really want to be here. We really want to serve God. You heard the testimonies this morning. They really want to take this new year and put their best foot forward and live for Christ. What more could you ask for? You say, well, I don't like you. I ain't coming to your church. Then don't come. But you know what? That don't reflect on the church. Let me tell you. It reflects on you. So when it's all said and done, to God be the glory. We got a lot of things to do this year. I can already feel it. And I'm not even sure how it all going to, just in my mind, I just try not to think too much about it, because it's like, I could get overwhelmed with what's in my mind, and now that I'm free to be able to come and go, I can come and go. And so I'm looking forward to this year. I know there's some things in my mind that I have to get together and coordinate, and there's things to do, and But Lord knows, he will take care of all of that. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried more about this morning service. This is what I'm nervous about. This is what's on my plate. And so if you want to turn with me over to Genesis chapter 18, I had a little thought on my mind. I don't know. I would say it's not going to take me long, but y'all would just laugh at me. So it's just a little thought, but I've been thinking on it for days. And so I thought I'd go over here. And what makes me nervous is it's small, but it's big. And I don't know how to get out what I see outside of the grace of God and God coming amongst us. And that's why I'm surely looking for him to speak, because I don't know how to even put in words what I see. Genesis chapter 18. We want to start there with Abraham. And I want to read three verses there, starting at verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." May the Lord add its blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title this morning's message, God's Holy Mountain. And I wanted to start here with Abraham, because I was thinking about last few days, and I was thinking, I said, God does great things on the mountain. He always has. Anytime God moved, he moved on a mountain. Anytime God wanted to show something, he showed it on the mountain. Anytime God wanted to share something with mankind, he did it on the mountain. And I wanted to start with Abraham, because Abraham was there on the mountain, because remember, him and Lot were they were nephew and their uncle, and they were sharing the land that God had given them. But then Abraham and Lot, their flocks and their children, and they couldn't get along. They couldn't live together. You know how it is with some relatives. You can love them at Christmas and Thanksgiving, but they got to go home. And, you know, Abraham and Lot got to a point that they had to separate. And Abraham's like, "Lot, you choose first where you want to go." And Lot, who was a city dweller and a builder, he thought, "You know what? I'm going to take the plains over here, because I can build me a big city there. And Abraham, you take this old rocky mountain." But what he didn't understand is God visits man on the mountain. And so when Abraham went up on the mountain, he took the harder way. You know, I was thinking about Brother Branham this morning, because all this is running through my head. Brother Branham, he was talking with God, and God told him, he said, "You have chosen the harder way." Abraham had chosen the harder way. He had his cattle on a hill. He had his sheep on a hill. He had to live on a hill. Everything rolled downhill. But you know what? It was a harder way, but that was God's way. Because God had an appointment with Abraham and was going to meet him on the mountain. And when God met him on the mountain, God revealed everything to him. See, the thing about God is, when you meet God in his chosen place of worship, God will reveal himself to you. Amen. It might be a harder way. It might be a way that's despised and rejected by everybody else, but it's God's way. And if you choose God's way, even though it's the harder way, God will meet you there. Abraham was on the mountainside, and God went to the mountainside where Abraham was. He didn't call Abraham off the mountain. He met him there. Right in the middle of his trials, right in the middle of his trouble, right in the middle of his circumstances. Abraham was an old man. Sarah was an old woman. They were past the time of life, couldn't even have kids. Was impossible to do what God was asking Abraham to do. But God went on the mountainside and met him there and said, "Abraham, I'm going to keep my word." Yes. Right. But he asked me, he said, can I hide anything from you? So he told Abraham all his secrets. And Abraham was standing there in the gap between heaven and earth, between God and man. God was going to destroy the earth. And Abraham was standing in the gap between there and said, God, if there be 50, if there be 20, if there be 10, if there be, and God was like, okay, if you can find that, okay, if you can find that. And that's the way we are. We're going through this life and like, and we're trying our best to find anybody that can go to heaven.
You're right.
We really are. We're going around here looking for foolish virgin, looking for somebody to give us a glass of water, somebody to give us some clothing on our back, somebody to do something for us that we can just get enough of God in there to say, God, let that one live.
Yes.
And just like it was with Abraham, so is it with us.
Amen.
We're walking around here, the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
Where the only way that people are going to meet God, the only way that they were going to meet God in Abraham's day was to meet Abraham. Because Abraham held the secrets of God.
Amen.
On the mountain.
Amen.
Nobody else knew.
No.
Lot didn't know.
No.
The Sodomites didn't know.
No.
The people that living in the plains didn't know. But Abraham knew exactly what God was going to do.
Amen.
And now when we read Luke 17, the church world is so twisted. They're spending so much time looking at Lot and Sodom, and they're spending so much about the world condition that they don't realize that God's on the mountaintop with his little bride.
Amen.
He's not hiding his secrets from us.
Amen.
We understand everything that God's going to do. We know his entire plan. Could God hide anything from his little bride?
Amen.
We're sitting here, the seals are open. We know everything from Genesis to Revelation. We're not guessing at this thing. We're not wondering about this thing. We know what it is. We know what to do with the word. Nobody else does. They're trying to go down there and protest in Sodom. They're trying to hold the place together, trying to hold Sodom together. You're not going to keep Sodom together.
No.
This world condition is exactly what the Bible said it was going to be.
Amen.
And it's not going to change for nobody.
Amen.
Put all the churches all you want on every corner if you want to. Brother Brown said, put Abraham Lincoln on every corner. It's not going to happen. This world, this world, church world, turned God down in 1956, didn't want him, and since they didn't want him, God doesn't want them. Build all the churches you want. Get all the community that you want. Do all the social things you want. Build all the hospitals you want. They're doing this trying to feed the poor and everything. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. We know that now. It doesn't say we won't feed them. But I'm not expecting that we're ever going to overcome it, because the word of God's against it.
Amen.
I'm not expecting that the church is going to finally get on its feet and do the right thing. I know they're not going to do it because the word of God's against it.
Amen.
But Abraham's little bride knows what it is. She knows what time it is. She's on the mountaintop now. You know, I was thinking about the church, and I don't even want to bring this in here, but I know it's in here.
Amen.
This bride... it's like a pyramid.
Come on.
And this pyramid, this mountain, he is sitting at the top of the mountain with the bride, revealing everything that he's doing to her. That's why I think it's important to go. That's why I think it's important to share. That's why I think it's important to get this word out, because people don't understand the things that you understand.
Right.
They have questions. They're not sure. They're trying to make things fit and don't know how it goes together. They've got the Rubik's Cube trying to fix it, but they don't know how to solve it. But here the bride is with the perfect answer. She's on the top of the mountain with all the answers. Just like Abraham. God said, will I hide anything from this little bride? That's what John said over there in Revelation chapter 3. He that readeth and they that understandeth. The words of the prophecy. Because when you can understand what I'm writing, it's over with. The bride's done. God's done everything that he wanted to do.
Amen.
Here we are standing in the hour that we're living in. On the top of the mountain. Nobody else sees what we see. Nobody else can believe what we can believe. Nobody else even want what we want.
Amen.
Oh my goodness.
But Abraham wanted it. Abraham had a promised son. Even though it looked impossible, it looked like it was impossible to do what he had to have done. Do you know Abraham had to have a body change? In order for God's word to be fulfilled in him, he had to have a body change. Church world don't even know that. Sarah had to have a body change. And at the end time, this bride, in order for us to do all that God is asking us to do, we have to have a body change. To get our promised son. Because God's promised us a son. And we're sitting up here looking like Sarah sometime, acting like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. Oh, I don't know if we can take. Oh, aren't we too far gone? In the church world too far gone? Are we too old? We've been here since 1963 and God hadn't come. You know what? A lot of people are throwing their books away. A lot of people are giving up on the message. A lot of people don't want to hear the prophet. But let me tell you, I don't feel no ways tired. I'm like Abraham. I'm like Abraham. Every year I get stronger. Every service I get stronger. Every message I get stronger. I'm more determined now for a body change than I've ever been in my life. I'm not tired of hearing about the prophet. I'm not tired of hearing about the word of God. I'm not tired of hearing about the opening of the seals. I'm not tired of hearing about serpent seed. That's the thing that I cut my teeth on, and that's the thing that's going to bring about my body change.
That's right.
Yes. So be it, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
On that holy mountain.
Yes, sir. Yes.
God talked to Abraham. God talked to Sarah.
Yes.
God gave him a promise. And all that Abraham had was the word of God. All this bride has is the word of God.
Amen.
You can't see a body change. You can't hear a body change. You can't feel a body change. But all you know is I got the word of God. And if I got the word of God, I got everything I need.
Well,
Abraham believed God. Bible tells me that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Oh, this bride believed God and it's counted unto you as righteousness. Sarah had to preach, get preached to. She was a weaker vessel. Oh, she loved Abraham. Oh, she believed Abraham, but she didn't believe all the message. And Abraham had to preach to her.
Yes.
Abraham never changed his message.
No.
He said, we're going to have a child.
Yes.
Abraham, how are we going to do it? I don't know. Abraham, how's it going to come? I don't know. Let me think about this, Abraham. Maybe I can come up with a way for us to have seed. Let me think about this, Abraham. Maybe I can think of a way. See, and she started using her wisdom instead of the promised word of God. But God said, yeah, she sent him in there with Hagar. But by that time, Abraham was already stronger. By that time, you got to remember, Abraham had seed in him again. Even before the promised son came, Abraham got stronger. Oh, while Sarah was doubting, Abraham was standing on the promises of God. And Sarah says, Abraham, you're looking healthy. Abraham, you're looking stronger. Abraham, you look like you can carry seed. So why don't you go on into Hagar and take care of that promise of God? God must have meant, see, here she goes interpreting the word. God must have meant if you go into her, she will have a child and that will become our child because she's my handmaid. That ain't the word of God. That wasn't what God said. See, the church world's trying to interpret the word of God. Oh, they believe that God said. They believe God's truth, but they're trying to make it happen. They're trying to make God's word come to pass. So they add to here, and they take away there, and they pump it up here, and they let it down there. But you have to take God's word just as it is. Brother Branham said God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. When God says it, he didn't bite his tongue. When God says it, he doesn't need you to interpret it. God doesn't need an interpreter of his word. He interprets it himself.
Just believe.
Amen.
All he wants you to do is take him at his word. All he wants you to do is stand on his promises. All he wants you to do is look at what he says and say, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Oh, my flesh ain't in the change yet, but Lord, I believe it's coming. I don't feel it, but Lord, I believe it's coming. That's what Sarah should have done. Sarah should have said, Abraham, you're right. God said, and I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it takes. God's the author and the finisher of my faith. That's what Abraham was saying. Abraham knew it was going to happen. And every time Sarah put doubt out there, Abraham put truth out there. Sarah said, well, maybe not through me. Abraham said, God promised through you, Sarah. But maybe it's through Hagar. Well, we'll try that, Sarah, but God said through you, Sarah. Well, Abraham, I know you look like you want this to happen. Yeah, Sarah, but he said you too. You're going too. When I get my change, you're getting your change. When I get younger, you're going to get younger. When I have a child, it's going to be through you. If I'm going to manifest anything, bride, if I'm going to change the body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, according to the word of God, it's going to be through you. Nobody else. Don't listen to anything else the devil says. Don't let him try to give you another way. Well, we're feasting on the body word of the Son of Man. Don't take away my marriage supper. Don't take away my body change. Don't put me in something that I'm not in yet. I'm not in my theophany right now. But I have one promised. I have one just on the other side of the mountain. I got one right on the other side of the hill. Promise me. He cannot lie. God said that he was going to do this thing for Abraham. He revealed himself. He did it on the mountainside. That mountain became holy when Melchizedek walked on it. Until God gets on that mountain, it's not holy. But as soon as God put foot on that mountain, the whole mountain become holy. Abraham become holy. Sarah become holy. Everything they had, everything they touched become holy. My God, why? Because God's there. When God moves into your life, you become holy. Everything you touch, everywhere you go, everything you speak, all you, because why? It's the holy God on the mountain. You think it's somebody way up here somewhere. No, God's moved down. God's moved on the mountain. God's moved in, and that's why you understand what you understand, because God is here explaining it to you. He's walking on your mountain. He's explaining himself to you. Now, what are you going to do with the church? Are you going to accept what God's already said he's going to do? Are you going to just hold right to God's unchanging hand? Are you going to do like Abraham, a father of our faith? You're going to stand on the promises of God? Or are you going to be like Sarah and try to fix it up? Oh, let's make this work. Let's make, you know what? They're still fighting because of Sarah's mistake. God moved on a mountain to become a holy mountain. As long as God's on your mountain, you're a holy mountain. And God's sitting here constantly revealing himself to us. It's so easy to understand. It's so easy to believe. You say, well, how is it so easy? Because God's on a mountain. God's standing there explaining everything. He's pointing out everything to you. And you're sitting there saying, Lord, let me find a foolish virgin. Lord, can I take my loved one? Why is it that we are claiming our loved ones? We're believing the word. God's here. And we're like, Lord, can this one go with me? Lord, can this one go with me? We're taking our loved ones. We're standing in the gap for the foolish virgin. We're standing in the gap for our families and our friends. And then this message group of people, they don't even believe that you can take your loved ones. They don't even believe it. They're worse than Abraham. If they were on the mountainside, they'd be saying, Lord, I know you're going to solve them. You're going to kill them all. I'll pray for them. This bride will plead for her loved ones. Amen. She will be the only God that they can get a hold of. Do you realize Abraham was the only God that they could get a hold of?
Amen.
Now, the English word God means anything. Them English words, you have to watch them because it got all kinds of perverted ideas. A God, this desk can be a God. A tree can be a God. A man can be a God. anything God. That's the English word. That's what God means. But Elohim means self-existing. There can only, the death cannot be self-existing. The man is not self-existing. The tree is not self-existing. But Elohim is self-existing one, manifested in the flesh, standing there eating, drinking milk from a cow, eating the flesh, the calf, eating bread, and talking to Abraham. And Abraham said it was Elohim. This bride, in the hour we're living in, we're dealing with Elohim. It's God amongst us. You say, well, they say, well, they came up to Jesus. They said, sir, we was to Jesus. He was right there amongst her, right in front of them. Have I been so long with you? And you don't know who I am. When God is right in your presence, lip to ear. When have we ever had God come and speak directly to you?
Amen.
We're still stuck on William Branham.
Come on now, preach.
Oh, he read your address. He did this and he did that. And we can go back to 63 or before. And thank God for William Branham. I'm not downing him at all. I'm just saying God did not stop in William Branham. You can't hear God in William Branham today. You got to find the I am. He told Moses, when you go down to Egypt, tell him I am sent you. Not I was, not I will be. God is always presence tense. Amen. But only the elect will be able to find him. Everybody else is going to look for some trinket, something that they can call God. And they won't accept God in skin. You don't realize when you touch the body, you're touching God in skin. You better watch how you handle that body.
Amen.
He said, touch not my anointed one. A lot of people think that's just the preacher. The whole body is anointed.
Amen.
You don't touch your brother. You don't touch your sister.
Amen.
You don't touch your parents.
Amen.
That's how we're living in.
Amen.
God's not out here somewhere. He's walking. He's talking. He's here in your presence. And when you walk away from this, you walk away from God.
That's right.
You say, well, I can get this anywhere.
No. Not like this. What an hour.
Bye. I guarantee that you won't find it.
Amen.
I was asked the other day when somebody walked away, what do you think about them? I said, when you walk away from the Son of Man, you stop growing. I've not seen one person leave this church ever and grow, outgrow us. Remember what Brother Shooter said when Parnell left us years ago? They left us and they thought they were going to grow, and they said that we're going to pass us up, whatever that means, because, you know, man always wants to get ahead of each other. You know how it is when y'all drive. But they said, we're going to pass you up. And Brother Shooter sitting there where Jeremiah is, he said, can I prophesy? He said, can I prophesy? He said, they'll never do it. You know why? Because he said they'll take this revelation, they'll go round and round with it. They'll do different turns, but they'll do the same thing. We that were here heard it ourselves. And the reason that is when you walk away from the Word made flesh, you cannot continue to grow. You will be the same or worse than when you left. I've not seen, and I've been here 43 years, Don's been here 45. We haven't seen one person, Don. Not even one that I could say got over the wall and got better. Not even one. Not one. Not one. And you say you're self-exalted, you just think you're something else. No, I'm just stating the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. You bring me one person that's prospered. You bring me one person that's better. Because I've run into them. And when I talk to them, they're right where they were. You know why? Because they got out from under the S-O-N. You can't grow without the sun. I told Jeremiah, somebody was coming back to see us a couple of years ago, I guess. And they had been away for 10, 12 years or so. Jeremiah asked me, says, where do you think he's going to be? Where do you think he's going to be at? I said, Jeremiah, he's going to be right where he left us. at best. A lot of times they get worse because some of them leave, and they leave us thinking they're going to go find God, and they end up going home and dying spiritually. So Jeremiah, when he came, wasn't he right where we left him the last time? Hadn't moved an inch. Hadn't moved. I don't know one. I don't know, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I know what we have here. I know what you have here. And if you walk away from the Son of Man, you cannot grow. It's got to be preached. And how can you preach except you be sent? And this ain't everywhere. It's not. I know that. And that's why I feel like I need to go some. Because I think it's the people need to hear this. People need to understand this revelation. The same one that God told Brother Childers in 73 is the same one that I've held on for 43 years. And still eating on it. Still feast. There's so much food in the storehouse. We don't even know how much. We never run out. We don't repeat ourselves. I get nervous because I don't know how I'm going to get it all done in a few hours. People will give you a 15, 20 minute message and they're out. They're done. And that's all they've read. And that's all they've written down. But I ain't even got off the first verse, off the scripture yet. That's like, but it's God doing this. It's not me. I don't take credit for this. I don't say that I've done anything. It's just the proof. I try to let y'all know it's God. I know it's God. Because I know me. I can't do this. But when he comes, Brother Branham said, you know who I'm waiting on. Yeah. You know what I wait on every service. I wait till he comes. Oh, he's here now. I was nervous till he got here. Yeah. But when he started talking, I got out of the way and let him have his way. Yeah. Take the message where he wants to. Take the service where he wants to. Let him say what he wants to. Yeah. When it's done, it'll be God. And I'll go home and relax.
Amen.
But all the way up until now, I was nervous.
Right.
Because I know what we have here. I know we're dealing with God himself.
Yes.
That come down from the throne. And if this doesn't mean everything to you, when Elohim visited Abraham, it meant everything to him.
Yes.
When God comes past your way, it should make you drop everything. Your ideas, your thoughts, this should be the first place in your life.
Amen.
The word of God. Well, I don't need to come. I don't have to come to church. No, you don't. But it's not first place in your life. You're sitting at home, half listening, half watching something on TV, half reading a newspaper, half drinking coffee and eating breakfast. You need to drop it all and run to the house. Because this is more important than your breakfast. This is more important than anything else you can put your mind to.
Amen.
Because this is God. When you know it's God like Abraham did, he didn't take nothing for nobody. He didn't worry about what his friend says. That Abraham, you're going to do what? He didn't care what his family says. He didn't care what his wife says. Now, if you don't care what your wife says, you really have sold out. He could have said like Job did. You talk like a foolish woman. Another Mount experience. Mount Carmel. God meeting you on the mountain. 1 Kings chapter 18. Won't read the whole story. Just to sum it up to you. You had Elijah the prophet. And he went up on the mountain. See, God's going to meet you on the mountain. And he drug them to the mountain. Said, y'all, come on. We're going to find out whose God is real. We're going to figure this out today. He said, you've been talking about your Trinitarian God. You've been talking about how good your church is. You've been talking about how much God's done for you. Come on. Let's go to the mountain. Because Elijah knew. He knew that God would meet him on the mountain. Took those 400 prophets up there.
Yeah.
And he said over there in verse 19, now therefore sin and gather to me all Israel upon the mountain. See, he wanted them all to see it.
Right.
He didn't want to do this in the corner. No. He wanted everybody to see.
Yeah.
And this bride, when you know what you got, you're not worried about mixing your family with your job with your church.
Amen.
I don't get nervous about my work saying they're going to come to church. Come on.
Right.
Bring them all. Bring all 400. I don't have nothing to hide. I'm on the mountainside. I'm up there and I know who's going to meet me there.
Amen.
Say, gather all those prophets, 450 of them, get them together and bring them on up. Jumping down to verse 30. He jumped down there and he said, I tell you what, I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to let you call on your God. I'm going to let you put your Trinitarian tabernacle up. I'm going to let you do your best, make your best shot, do what you want to do, and when you get finished, I'll take the scraps. See, that's just like God.
Amen.
That's just like Abraham. We ain't worried about being first. We ain't worried about being the initial. I'm not worried about letting you preach first. Let you go first. Throw your best Bible scripture out there. The one you think is going to prove your Trinitarian doctrine. Throw it out there. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
Elijah wasn't worried about it. Said, you get your prophets over here and have them call on the God.
Yeah.
And they got their altar together and they put up a big old fuss and they danced and they shouted and and Elijah sat back. Half a day gone by. He said, well, maybe your God's a little harder here. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on vacation. Why don't y'all do it a little louder? So they got louder. And they cut themselves.
They
put on a big show. See, that's what some church people do. They think putting on a big show is going to bring God on the scene. I don't care what you do. Whatever you do is not going to supersede what God's done for me.
Amen.
So I'll show you. Go ahead. I'll hold my breath until you die. Go ahead. I'll never darken the doors of your church again. Go ahead. I'm going to go another way. Go ahead. There's only two ways. And I know my way. I know where I'm going. I know for surety what I have. I don't even worry about nobody trying to get with me.
That's right.
Elijah wasn't trying to get the multitude on his side. Matter of fact, he said, this is 450 to 1.
Right.
Ain't about numbers.
No.
I don't care about your numbers. I don't care about who you fellowship with. I don't care about what church you go to.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Have your conventions. Have your meetings.
Right.
Take your best shot.
Right.
And after they got all wore out, Elijah said, you had enough? He said, okay, let's do this the right way. He rebuilt the altar. Rebuilt. Because they tore it down. Trying to get a hold of their God. Do you know this church row has torn down the altar?
Yes.
Trying to get a hold of God.
Right.
Cutting themselves, them shouting and just speaking in tongues and doing all these things. Work. They're doing all this stuff. They tore it down. And we had to have an Elijah come. And rebuild the altar.
Yes.
We could not even put the sacrifice up until it was rebuilt. I will restore, said the Lord. This happened on the mountain. There is a holy God on the mountain again. When you get the prophet on the scene and you get the word restored, you get everything back into place, all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, and you get the scriptures back to where it was, I will restore, saith the Lord. That's what he told, that's what Elijah said. And he said, I got to restore this thing. You got the altar broken down. The sacrifice messed up. Nothing's right about this at all. Get rid of all this junk, all this churchy stuff, and let's get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
Remember, they were churchers. It wasn't Elijah against the world. They were prophets. They were churchgoers. We always feel like we're fighting the world. The world is not our problem.
No.
Amen.
Like I said, I got more Love Friday out of my workers than I get out of church people.
That's right.
I know that's right.
Amen.
It's the church world that crucified Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the church world that put us in the dark ages. It's the church world that took away the word of God and the understanding of it. It's the church world that put the Nicene Council together. They tore the altar down. God had to come on the mountain. Send us Elijah to build the altar back. Put the word back together. I will restore, saith the Lord, all that the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worm, all of that. I'm going to put it all back together. I'm going to restore the word of God. Do you realize you have to have the word restored before God will come?
Amen.
God couldn't do anything for Sarah until after she got back on the word. She tried her word. And all she brought forth was a wild child.
Right.
But when she got back under headship, got back under Abraham, and started listening to Abraham, Abraham all the time said, Sarah, it's you. Sarah, it's you. Well, I don't think Sarah, it's you. And after she brought forth that wild child, and then she got jealous of it, and then she started, this ain't it. This ain't right. She got a bad spirit on her. Then she realized, Abraham, what did God say again? When she got back under the word and started believing what God has said, then it came to pass. We had to have the altar restored under Elijah's ministry. We had to have the word restored at the end time because it was broken down. The altar was broken down and we needed an Elijah to come on the scene to put the altar back together.
Amen.
But all that happened on the mountainside. Mount Carmel showdown, as Brother Branham called it.
Right.
He put the altar back together. He put the meat back on it. He put the wood back on it. He said, you know what? Not only am I going to restore, but I got some stuff I want to add in there that wasn't here, that's never been used before.
Right.
I want to put it, make it so clear that it's God, that nobody could miss this thing.
Amen.
When the seals were open after the word was restored, that was the water.
Amen.
He said, take these barrels and pour water on the wood.
Right.
Wet it so much that it's impossible for man to have done this. It's impossible for man to get away with this. Make it so wet that nobody will ever say it is anything but God. After Malachi 4 got finished, Brother Brown said Malachi 4 had two ministries. First ministry was to restore the words. He put the altar back together. Put the word back together. Put the lost things back together. But then he said, but the second part of the ministry of Elijah was to literally turn the hearts back. That's the water on the wood. That's the stuff that wasn't there before. That's the stuff that nobody knew. And it made it impossible. You could not understand the altar without seeing the water poured on it.
Amen.
So our Elijah put our altar together. And then he come down himself. Then the mountain become holy. Mount Carmel become holy. Because who? God come on the scene. He said, Elijah said, God, I need you. Simple prayer. As you said you would do. See, this is what we do on the mountain. And when he moves on that mountain, it becomes holy. And the words that are spoken at that point are holy. Because those are God's words.
Amen.
Elijah said, just a simple prayer. Lord, come and show yourself.
Right.
A fire come down from heaven. It hit the altar.
Yes.
It hit the box.
Yeah.
It hit the wood. It lapped up all the water. Bone dry.
Come on.
Burning all up. And nobody could deny that the God of Elijah was the real true God.
Amen.
He keeps his word.
Amen.
He'll come to the mountain and he will show you off.
Amen.
He showed off Abraham.
He showed off Elijah. He showed off this bride. When we had Elijah come in this day, he came and restored everything. Then God come down and licked it all up. It just didn't hit Elijah. It hit the entire bride body. Here we stand stronger than ever. We know what it is. We know who has been talking to us. We know who's on the scene. We have our own Mount Carmel experience now. And the devil himself knows who you are. They don't like it, but they don't have to like it. I don't like your church. That's all right. I don't like your pastor. That's right. I don't like your prophet. That's right. I'm not trying to prove. See, this is what I love about this. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to prove anything to you. I'm not trying to prove anything to prove what I've got. I am that I am by the grace of God. Amen. It's God's grace that brought him on this mountain. And now I speak after him. I walk after him. I talk after him. Whether you like it or not. You get mad as you want. That it's the God of Elijah here. But it ain't going to change it. God said, I can go. You don't want me to go? That's okay. But I'm going anyhow. You say, I can't be a part. That's okay. I'm a part of it anyhow. As mad as you get, and as much as you don't think you would want me there, I'm going to be at the marriage supper right with you if you get there. I know I'm going. Why? The God of Elijah told me. How do you know you're going? The God Melchizedek told me. I've been on the mountaintop, as Martin Luther King said. I know where I'm standing. I know. Do you know when you're on the mountaintop, you can see it all? You can see the towns below you. You can see the tree line. You can see where the trees stop and the rocks start. You can see everything. When you're up on the top of the mountain where we are, we see everything. We're up there, Brother Lockett. Such a cry made as the eagles scream. Where does the eagles go? They go to the top of whatever they can get a hold of. They'll get to the highest tree in the land. If they can't get higher than that, they'll take that highest branch. But if they can find a mountain close by, they'll get up as high as they can because they can get up there where nobody else can go. This bride is living where nobody else can go. So we've had our Mount Carmel experience. It is at such a time as this that the messenger of Malachi must come. Then in the latter rain, will come a Mount Carmel showdown. Watch this carefully now to see it's the word. John was a forerunner of Malachi 3. He planted the former rain and was rejected by the organizations of his day. Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. The second forerunning of Christ will show for the latter rain. Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds, for he will come back up his word and take his bride in the rapture. The first showdown was Mount Carmel. The second showdown was Mount Transfiguration. And the third was Mount Zion. God always comes to the mountain. Right. Now, we got over here. And I love reading this. I'm going to read this because I just love Brother Branham saying this. Because anytime God moves on the scene, it becomes God. That's what people don't understand. They think it's an anointing. They think it's this. No, God's here. When God's on the scene, that's what makes it holy. When God comes on a mountain, that mountain becomes a holy mountain. When God moves on the ground where Moses stood, remember when Moses was on the ground and God was in the bush?
Yeah.
What are you telling? This is holy ground. It wasn't the ground that made it holy. It was the God that made the ground holy. It wasn't the mountain that was holy. It was God on the mountain that makes it holy. It's not you being holy. It's God in you making you holy.
Amen.
I always like to say that because people think that they're so holy. They think they're so righteous. They think they have so much going for them. And it is not you at all. If you turn down the word of God, you are not holy. I don't care how long your dress is. I don't care how good you dress. I don't care how many message books you read. I don't care how much Bible you read. If you turn down the Word of God, you are not holy. There's only one holy one. And when you think you've got so much holiness that you're too good to get around the body of Jesus Christ, you are deceived.
Amen.
And the love of God ain't even in you.
Amen. I know that's right.
And we want to be so big and wear some kind of a big turnaround collar, some kind of clothes, you know, that makes us look so holy and reverent. There is no holiness with us. We cannot be holy. This is our prophet now. We cannot be holy. Holiness is of God, see? Certainly. It ain't a holy church. Ain't a holy mountain. It's a holy God. That's right. Not holy people. A holy God. It's God in the people. Peter referred to the Mount Transfiguration, the holy mount. It meant that the holy God was on the mountain. Look at it now, see? But it was the holy God there. The presence of God's what made it holy. It's the presence of God in our midst now that brings holiness.
Amen.
Not my holiness, not yours, but His holiness.
Amen.
His presence is what brings the holiness.
Right.
We ought to humble ourselves, cover ourselves in reverence, humility, and say, Lord Jesus, receive me into your kingdom. His holiness, not ours, His spirit.
Amen.
So when God moves on the mountain, the mountain becomes holy, not because of the mountain, but because God's there.
Yes.
When God moves on you, on your mountain, you become holy.
Right.
He said in the Word, be ye holy.
Yes.
That wasn't a question. That wasn't a plea. That was a declared statement. Because whenever you find God, you find holiness.
Right.
Remember what they hollered at the altar before God? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the only holiness there is. When God moves on you, you become holy. If I'm holy now, it's because God's here. If you're holy, it's because God's there. If you look at your brothers and sisters and you see anything good about them, it's because God's there. It's not because you're so holy and so good and so right. You're a sinner saved by grace. We all are. But it's God moving on you and making you a holy mountain. Not mine, but thy righteousness. Abraham, he looked for a city. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go over there real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to start at verse 8. It always just, it burns me up that people think they live good. I mean, I don't mind you living good. I want you to. But what gets me is when you think you do. It's just, I don't know. It just butts me because I know we're all rotten. All of sin and come short of the glory. But when you think you're better than the person across the aisle from you, you got a problem. Abraham was looking for the mountain. Abraham wanted to go to the mountain because he knew God was there. And he knew God dealt with him on a mountain. And he knew every time he got a hold of God, it was on a mountain. So over here in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a mountain. You say, well, no, when he was looking for a city. Oh, he was looking for a mountain. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Now, Brother Branham said, in the future home, Jesus is going to prepare with the divine hands a divine city, divine architect, for a divine brought people, for a predestinated people. He has gone to prepare. And Abraham was looking for it. And he professed that he was a pilgrim and a stranger. And he's looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. The prophet, knowing it was somewhere, John saw it coming down.
Yeah.
But Abraham thought it might be on earth right then. Why? He met at Melchizedek, the king of it. And he gave him the tithes, which had no father or no mother. He had no beginning of life or ending of life. Abraham met him, and they took communion right on the literal spot where the city will be raised up. The holy mountain of the Lord, where the redeemed will live. Oh, my. The redeemed are going to a mountain. If Abraham was looking for a city, and his children were looking for a city who were going to be heirs with him, then we, who are heirs of Abraham, should be looking for a city. Should be looking for a mountain. Because we're going to find God there. God will dwell there.
Amen.
And the thing that I love about it is that this city is going to be different than any other city. This city is going to be God's holy mountain.
Yes.
Amen.
And we should be looking for that.
Right.
We should be pressing for that. We should be living for that. Knowing, just like Abraham, Sarah, we're going to have a promised son. Sarah, the word said. Church, the word said.
Amen.
That city's coming down, and we're going to be living in that city.
Amen.
We should be pushing for that every day. With every waking date that we have, we should be looking for that city.
Amen.
Knowing that there's one coming that God's right. building. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
That wasn't a lie.
No.
That was the truth.
Yes.
He said, if it wasn't true, I would have told you.
Right.
He's got a city for us. This is not the end. I love the fact that I can have God with me on earth.
Amen.
I love the fact that he and I can fellowship now. I love the fact that we can be one now. I love the fact that I can be so sure of who I am right now.
Right.
But I got a city coming.
Yes.
I got a promise ahead of me, Don.
Yes.
I won't be satisfied until I wake in his likeness. I won't be satisfied till I'm walking those streets of gold. I won't be satisfied till all my loved ones are by my side. I won't be satisfied till the dead get up. I won't be satisfied till that new Jerusalem come down. I've got things to look forward to. I'm wanting God's holy city to come and settle down here on earth. And won't be satisfied till it happens. Oh, I'll put up with this world. I'll put up with the problems of this life. I'll struggle through this thing and make it the best I can. And I'm loving what I'm loving. I love life. I love. I'm not walking around here depressed, talking about, well, I can't wait till the body change come. I got to get out of here. You know what? I'm going to live every day till I die.
That's right.
And if my body changes before I die, I'm going to live every day till my body changes. And I'm going to enjoy life. I'm not going to be down and out. I don't have to be lonely. He gave us promises. And I'm looking for that holy city. I'm pressing for that holy city. I'm leaning towards that holy city. I'm closer to the holy city than I've ever been in my life.
Amen.
This is not it, church.
No.
This is not the end.
No.
We have not even begun to live.
Right.
We're just getting the dressing work done.
Right.
We're in the dressing room right now. I got to put my coat on first. When I get my coat on, then we'll start living.
That's right.
This ain't living.
No.
Just wait till you have a theophany that's going to have perfect memory, that you don't have to fight your mind anymore. Somebody said today, this is the greatest battle ever fought. That's the truth. We have to fight that mind all the time. To keep saying you have to fight this mind. You have to fight this tabernacle. Only thing right about you is your soul.
Yeah.
And we fight every day. We push every day. We stress every day. But we are bound for that city.
Yes.
Whose builder and ruler is God. And I won't be satisfied until I change this coat. I won't be satisfied till I have my theophany living in me, not around me. I want it in me. I want this spirit realm to go. I want this flesh to go. I want my glorified body, my theophany, and my soul. And I won't be satisfied until I get all those together again. You said again, yeah, it was together in his mind before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Remember, he said, I got stripped for everything. Remember, he said, all that I called, I justified.
Yeah.
And all I justified, I glorified.
Amen.
If he's called you, he's already glorified you.
Yeah.
So I know I got a body waiting on me. Yeah. It's just in his time that I can receive it. But I'll look for that thing every day. I'll call for that thing every day. And this holy mountain that he's on now, he's going to move this holy mountain to that holy mountain.
Amen.
I won't be satisfied until that happens. We struggle down here sometime, and I don't understand why we struggle. We battled our house. I battle my house. You battle your house. It's a battle. Now, Brother Brown says it's not a picnic, it's a battlefield. But he's on this mountain. And I hold to God's unchanging hand. I hold to his promises. I hold to his word. And I put him first place. If he says work somewhere, I'll go work. If he says stop working, I'll stop.
Right.
You know, I stopped working because at 6 o'clock in the morning, he said, this. By 2 o'clock, I think 1 or 2 o'clock that afternoon, I was in HR's office. Same day. And she looked at me and said, Nate, I'd like for you to stay, but you really got to go. And everybody I talked to at work, they're like, no, you got to go. God knows when and how. And I'm not worrying about all this other stuff. Well, what about my pension? What about this? God said, it's time. My accountant always gets mad at me. She told Clary, she said, every time Nate gets a good job, he ups and leaves it. She still never got over me leaving Miami Valley Hospital. She brings that up all the time. But it's not about my life. It's what God wants, where he wants, when he wants, how he wants. You give him your life. He owns it.
Amen.
You're trying to hang on to things and trying to keep your plans and trying to keep your life. It's not your life. It's not your walk. It's not your abilities. It's not your decisions. It's what God wants in your life. That's what the bride is dying to. It's whatever you want, Lord. If I don't have a job at all, I'm okay too.
Right.
If I have to work every day, I'm okay too.
Yeah. Amen.
That's where the bride is now.
Right.
And the devil has a hard time with us because we're leaning on him. We're listening to him. And he don't know how to, he can't pigeonhole us. He says, what's he going to do next? He done had devil on him. What I'm going to do. He's so nervous about me this year. He's so nervous. He's sitting back in the corner going, what's he going to do now? I had him tied up 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. And I only had so many holidays and so many vacation days, and he was bound by this and bound by that and all this responsibility. Now he's free. Brother Creek told me one time, he said, Brother Moore, he said, a man is dangerous who don't care. Don't have nothing to lose.
Amen.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him with him all the way to that city, that Holy Ghost filled, God blessed holy mountain. That's where we're heading, people. I'm looking for that city who's building root. I'm like Abraham. I know it's just ahead. I know it's just in front of me. All I got to do is, like the set the other night, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep walking. Just keep believing. Just keep confessing the word of God. Talk like God talks. Say what he says and you can't go wrong. Believe what he said and it will come to pass for you. He's true to his word. He kept his word to Abraham. Got to Mount Transfiguration. And he kept his true word to Jesus. Amen. They said, let's build three tabernacles. That's what Peter got excited about. Because he saw Moses and Elijah standing there talking to Jesus. And he was thrilled. He said, oh, look at God on the mountain. But he had the wrong mountain. He said, well, this is where we're going to build the tabernacle. Oh, it's coming in there. Mount Transfiguration. Oh, it's going to be right under that city. And Peter's like, let's build three tabernacles here. God said, this is my beloved son. You follow him. Listen to him. He's the one who's going to take you to that city. And he was the one that's going to take us to that city. You follow him. You trust him. You believe him. Stand on his word. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. People are dropping like flies around here. If you hadn't noticed. They disappear, and they don't come back. But don't let that deter you. You know what you need to do? Be still. Be still. Let God lead you. When they tried to tell me, oh, Brother Moore, we're following a man. I was like, I don't think so. As for me and mine, I'm not following a man. And the proof that they were following a man is that they're not here today. The man let them down. And when you're following a man, see, that's the thing. That's the church, what you got to realize, it's the word of God that we're following. You're not following me. I might fall on my face tomorrow and Jeremiah stands up and takes over. Are you going to fall on your face because I follow my face? You can come back here and say, Jeremiah, preach to me.
That's right.
The same word to Brother Moore preached, the same word to Brother Childers preached, the same word to Brother Branham preached, same word to Paul preached. You better preach that. Because that's why I'm here. I'm not here because I'm your buddy. I'm not here because you live so good. I'm not here because you're so smart. I'm here because the revelation of God's word is here.
Amen.
That's what you're following. And that revelation of God's word will take you right to that mountain. You stay with God's word.
Amen.
Don't stay with people. Stay with God's word.
Amen.
All right. Brother Branham said, now, have you got the city? See, it's a holy mountain. Brother Branham illustrated on the blackboard. Nothing shall hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, said the Lord. The city is not a cube. It's a mountain. And the width by the breadth by the height are equal, see, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles all the way around, and 1,500 miles high. So it's just a great mountain. Like the pyramid. And the city is on the mountain. Glory, he says. There you are. There is the paradise of God, the light of the world, that perfect kingdom, not the seventh day, the eternal one. See, not a millennium, the new earth. See, that city is not even going to come down at the millennium. That's only 3,500 years there after our 3.5 years at the marriage supper. But there's still sin on the earth.
Right.
Right.
And the city will not come down until all the sin is gone. As long as there is unbelief around, don't think you're going to see the city. So you want to see the city, but don't worry. If it all crumbled today, if the house of cards fell today, you got 3.5 years. Then you got 1,000 years. And after that, you got the great white throne judgment. And who knows how long that'll be, because we're not going to be in time. And after that's done and we're judged everything and put the people on the left and the right and they're taken care of, then that city, that mountain comes down. The city's going to come down and the earth is going to push up to meet it. Won't it be wonderful there? Oh my. We think we got something going on now. That holy mountain, see, God always meets us on a mountain. He's going to meet us on that mountain. He's going to be the light of that city. They don't need a sun in that city. I used to think when I was a little bit younger, I didn't understand. And I was asking God, I said, God, how are you going to be the light of the whole entire city? How is that going to work? Because I'm thinking in my carnal thinking. And you know what he told me? He says, you don't need the sun during the day. I thought, oh, I guess you're right. It's going to be the light of the entire city, brighter than the sun. Right. And you won't have need of flashlights, candles, no darkness. The city will be bright, day and night. When the world goes in the dark, because you know the world's still going to have its seasons. They're going to have their seasons. They'll have day and night. They'll have seasons. They'll have all that thing, same things out there. But the city, you say, where am I going to sleep? You don't have to sleep. Right. We're so carnal. We think we need sleep. Right. In a glorified body, you don't need to sleep. Right. In a theophany, they don't eat or drink. Right. See, the whole body system's going to change. Right. There won't be no waste. You won't have to stop and go to the bathroom. God never sleeps. We don't have to worry about all the things we think. I hope they have 3 or 4 bathrooms in my mansion. You can't even fathom what that city's going to be. But all I know is I've got the word of God and it says it's going to be. If I want an apple, I can get one. But don't want an apple, I don't have to have it. I won't be getting an apple because I'm hungry. I won't be stealing an apple out of Jeremiah's mansion. It's totally different than anything we're used to. And we try to imagine it. We can't really even imagine it. David was anointed to say that because aforehand he could see it. Just like Abraham sought that city on the earth. You know, he was looking for it because he was gonna live here someday. Abraham is in that city. And he went around looking for it. And right on the same ground where he looked, it was just above him then. And it'll return in a millennium and he'll live in that city. But being a prophet, he was ordained and inspired. He knew that there was a city somewhere, and he was looking for it. But you see, the whole revelation of it was hid from him. It wasn't for his age. Right. Or down to John, where he saw it coming down from heaven. That was the city. Right. We may not see that city today, but we know that holy mountain's coming up. And we know that city's coming down. Amen. So we're like Abraham. We're looking for it. Right. Yeah. We're looking for it. Bible asks the question, will I find faith on the earth when I return? I can answer that question. Some people can't answer that question. I know the answer is yes, because I'm here.
That's right.
And so John saw that holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending like a comet or a dove, coming down out of heaven and sitting upon a redeemed entire earth. To do what? To claim every attribute that he had made the earth for. Every man that was represented in eternity and every woman is redeemed then. She has been scoured and burned by fire. The earth had been tore off and burnt up, and God got rid of all sin when this city comes down. And he did it so that you and I can go there. We don't even, all we can do is take God at his word. We don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be made to our likeness.
Yes.
We're going to love whatever it is.
Amen.
And you say, I don't know. I might want purple walls in my mansion. You're carnal. When you get into that place, it's going to be perfect. You won't even be able to think of anything that you could want. He'll have it all covered. He'll have everything taken care of. I said my rewards. People are always thinking rewards, jewelry, rings, necklaces, crowns, and all that. My rewards are my loved ones. I'll be happy to have my rewards with me. He's going to give us our rewards. I'm going to roll my crown right at his feet. He said, Lord, you did all this. It ain't anything I've done. It's not my righteousness, but yours. You just gave me a promise. And you gave me the word.
Amen.
And you told me I was going to be able to come and live in this city. You've done all of this. What have I done? Not a thing.
Amen.
So I ain't worried about no gold crown with jewels on it. It'll be easy to roll it at his feet. It'd be easy to give it back to God. I don't have any righteousness that I could boast on and say I've done so much. It's the grace of God and the grace of God alone that we're part of this plan. He came to Abraham on a mountain. He came to Elijah on a mountain. He came to Mount Transfiguration. He came to the bride. He came to you.
Amen, Lord.
That holy mountain. God's holy mountain. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. Whenever God comes on the mountain, there's always knowledge. You can't help but to learn when he comes. When he come to Abraham, Shalahai. Went to Elijah, boom, showed everybody that God was there. Brought us a prophet, Elijah, at this time. Open our eyes. Now we clearly see. We can't, our knowledge is just beyond. It's beyond. What you people know is beyond. You don't even realize how much you know.
Amen.
Oh, take a field trip. I always tell you, take a field trip. Go to a church. Go to the church of your choice.
Amen.
Sit down and listen to their message. The best preacher they have in the house. You'll sit there and say, no, that ain't right. No, this goes here. This goes there. No, you got this book all mixed up. No. And you don't even have to be a preacher to do that. I hear it on the radio all the time. Talking about someone trying to get eternal life. Talking about the Trinity. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were trying to explain how the Trinity worked. And I forget how it was so awful. I'm not trying to discredit them. I'm just saying it was really the explanation was just awful, and it didn't give anybody any hope. And I'm thinking, this is the best that the world has. But we're on the mountaintop. We're on the holy mountain, and the knowledge that we have on the mountaintop goes beyond anything this world can offer. That's why I don't understand why they would leave. I don't understand why this gets old. I get renewed day by day. Every time God comes here, and he comes here every service. Every time God speaks, and he speaks every service. Every time God moves, and he moves every service. I get stronger. I get more determined. I get more like Abraham than I ever been. Now I'm looking for that city. Whose builder and ruler is God. He promised it to me. The marriage supper is promised to me. A new body is promised to me. And I won't be satisfied with anything less. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I think Skyler said, if I got to do this by myself, I always felt that. If I got to be here by myself, if y'all all left me, I would still serve God. If all y'all decided I ain't worth being around, I would still serve God. If everybody decided we're going to start a church somewhere else, I would still serve God. Because it's not anything I'm putting on. This is my life. This is your life. God's holy mountain. And God, at that day, the kingdom being given over to the Father, he might be all in all. While he's yet speaking, I'll hear. David, Christ, David, sitting on the throne, the king over the whole human race. And while they're yet speaking, while they're yet thinking, I'll know what they're thinking about. Before they speak, I'll answer them. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and they shall feed together and lay down. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Right back exactly to Eden again, as hard as it can go. We are on our way back to that holy mountain. Back to Eden. Back to where we come from. Back to a lifestyle that we should have had all along. But thank God for the fall, because it helped us to understand what redemption was all about. Oh, I'm looking for that city, Don. And I'm not tired of waiting. People get tired. They don't want it anymore. They get wore out. I'm not tired. I watched Brother Childers a week before he died. He wasn't tired. He looked at me and said, "Oh, Brother Moore." He pointed his finger at me and said, "You know I've stayed the course." Because I was telling him about me preaching that. He's like, "I've stayed the course, brother." I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Childers, you did." That's the way I want to be. Amen. Stay until my change comes. Right. I'm not in and out. I'm not up and down. I'm not back and forth. You don't see me like this one day and like this the next day. I want to live a testimony such that they can do like they said at work. You have influenced my life. Changed my life. And it's like I watch people do that. And it's not because of me. It's because of what God's word has done in our lives. And you know it's happened in your life. When you go where you go, people are looking at you. You are the final voice to the final age. They can hear God from nowhere else but you. They can see God nowhere else but you. They will not know God outside of knowing you. Your holy mountain is walking amongst the earth right now. But when we finish with this, we're going to another mountain. And when we get to that mountain, we can lay our swords down. We can put that battle shield down. Take that helmet off. Put all the warfare gear down. When I got ready to leave Friday from work, I passed over across the table my laptop. I passed across the table my telephone. I passed across the table all the keys that I owned. And I stood up, and I didn't have none of that weight on me anymore. When we get to that city, we're going to lay all this stuff down. You think your problems are problems now? You're going to get over there and you're going to see Jesus. You're going to slide it across the table. I don't have that anymore. All your baggage will be gone. All your problems will be gone. All the things that you've tried for years to get over and you haven't, they'll be gone. All the misunderstandings will be gone. All of your enemies will be gone. All the people that backtalk you and tell you off, and all of that will be gone. And you'll be free at last. Amen. Won't it be wonderful there? Yes. Having no burdens to bear. Amen. Joyously singing with heartbeats, heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, when I reach that city. Oh, Mount Zion. Come on, musicians. I feel like singing now. Amen. Somebody find that. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city of Mount Zion.
Pastor Moore. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank God so much for just, I'm living my best life. That's all I can say.
Amen.
This is the golden age, not financial. I mean, I'm good, but the revelation and being able to be here is what I'm talking about, living my best life.
Amen.
You know, that true understanding. And I woke up this morning and I want to give our leadership here so much love.
Amen.
You know, what they go through to bring us this word, to break it down, the hours they study, the sacrifice, and they still got to go to work. They still got to take care of their family. I mean, and we struggle and don't even have to do that. We just got to show up. So I just want to give our leadership, I'm so thankful. Thank you so much, Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, and Brother James. I'm just so grateful to be here and have this, the manifestation of his word. Pastor Moore, when you said that, that hit me like a bolt. What a revelation we get here. The manifestation of God's true word.
That's
right. Nowhere else. No other church has this.
Mm-mm.
And I'm just so thankful to be a part of it. And I love you guys. I'm just overjoyed.
Amen. Somebody find that. 26.
Pastor. I just want to thank God for being here today. You know, this word is nothing but the truth. I would never want to be anywhere else because I know where God is. He's here and he's here too. And I love you guys. And I just thank God for bringing me through a whole nother year. I'm still here.
Amen.
You know, amen.
It's real. And I just thank you guys.
I just wanted to say something real quick, too. I didn't want to sit back there all
day. Mm-mm, don't do that.
Nope. I'm really full.
Amen.
I'm really thankful. I'm really grateful for everything. Yeah. For this word. It's made me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Gives me strength.
Yes, it does.
I can overcome. There's nothing I love anymore.
That's the truth.
Getting here and listening to the word, listening to what you ministers put forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as Michelle, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. I know you sacrifice. I know all of you sacrifice, all of you ministers.
Yes.
I know the body does too. You know, I know we do
right.
too. But, you know, I just wanted to stand up and I wanted to say, I love this word. I love
Amen.
This place. I want to be here all the time.
Oh, yes.
But I have to work every other Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not here,
we know you're
I'm not slipping out. I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
I work every other Sunday, but I'm here every
Amen.
Sunday. So I've worked. I work nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked 12 hours already when I come to work. So every other Sunday is a 24-hour day for
oh,
me or
my.
Longer.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I want the body to know that. If I get slap happy, just ignore me.
Nah, we all get slap happy.
Oh, I sit back there and I get slap happy even when I've not done 24 hours because, you know, this word, that's what it does for you.
That's right.
You
it brings joy.
It gives you, it's joy. It gives
Amen.
You strength. And, you know, I use my PTO a lot of times to get to church.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I use my PTO. To get to church,
Amen.
To hear the word, to get this message.
That's right.
I didn't want you all having fun without me.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
So I wanted to get here. But you know, I just want the body to know I love each and every
Amen.
One of you. I think about
Bless
you
Judy.
Often. And I just give you flowers, Brother Moore,
yes.
you and Jeremiah and James,
Amen.
You know, for all that you do and the
yes.
sacrifice.
Thank you.
I see the sacrifice, even with your family. I see that. I'm grateful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning that you have come once more and visited us. Thank you for that word and how it just points our eyes in the right direction. And we're so privileged to understand what we do. And for you to give us this word and come and walk the aisles and explain it to us in such a way that we can understand, and we're never going to be able to thank you enough for that. Lord, as we look for this city, we ask you to just help us to do like Abraham. Even though it's a little bit higher than us here, we'll look for that city down here every day. We know it's promised to us, and we're going to be a part of it. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this thing. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word and how you've blessed us in so many ways. Help us to loose all the loads that, Lord, hinder us from moving forward even further. Lord, we want to do more this year than we've ever done. We want to press the mark. And as Brother said, we want to walk that road right in the middle. We want to keep a balance in our lives. And we want to press and look for that city and be the final voice to the final age and deal with our loved ones in such a way that, Lord, they will recognize that they're looking at you. Have your way with us this year, Father. Touch those that are sick. Continue to be with Brother Praveen and his family. Ask you to be with Trevor, the different ones, Donna that's not here, and the ones that are tuning in that are sick today. Ask you to bless them, Lord. We'll all meet together, if not here, like Brother Baker would always say, here, there, or in the air. Lord, we got a destination just dead ahead of us. And we want to keep our eyes not only just looking down at the earth for the city, but let us look up. As your scripture says, our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sister Glenda.
Tell me, say something.
Say something.
Identify.
Amen. You know.
And I'm going to put my testimony out there that I'm going to be headed towards that city also.
Amen. 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 Yeah, you can sing a song. Sit down, everybody. Dawn's going to sing a song, unless you want to stand up.
You can sing it with me. Do you remember Larry Jackson used to sing that, Looking for a City?
Long time ago.
A long time ago.
I am.
Try
it. Here among the shadows, living in a lonely land, where a band of pilgrims burdened down with sorrows and we're shunned on every hand, but we are looking for a city built above. Oh, I am looking for the city. Oh, where we'll never die. Oh, there a Savior. Oh, we'll never say goodbye. Oh, there we'll meet our Savior.
Say goodbye. been a long time. Amen. Don't forget, we have Bible study tonight starting at 7. We're going to start back with the Bible studies this year. And remember all the announcements and things that will be coming up. Sure there's more, but that's enough to start with. If you don't get here early enough to see the announcements on the overhead before service start, come earlier. You didn't think I was going to say that. Come earlier so that you can get them in your phone. That's what I do. I sit there and I put in my phone, put reminders in so that when these things happen, we have some kind of notifications. But keep that in mind. Some of the things have to do with the kids. Some have to do with us all. And so keep these things in your mind. Now, what are we singing? 26. On top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with its glory it does fill. I shall look on his beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. On top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with its glory it does fill. Oh, I shall see, look on this beauty in the morning when I reach that city on a hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still, and I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says, whosoever mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion.